Recording. Man, what is the date today?
16th.
16th, yes. Okay.
I have to turn on the heat when I should turn on the cold.
Whoops.
May 16th meeting, actually May 16th work session of the Naco Sanitary District has been called to order at 2:40. Work sessions are a little bit different than everything else. It's not as formal. Anybody can speak,
right.
Even if there's members of the public. We actually encourage public input and everything like that at a meeting like this. That way we can get things figured out.
A roll call.
And then I will do that before a meeting, and then we can go into the meeting and vote on all the things we do at a work session. It gives the public an opportunity for more input than they do at a regular meeting. I'm done with my diatribe. I'll go to the roll call now. Andrew Foster, absent. Charlie Bainey.
Here.
Jesus Guerrero.
Here.
Stephen Day is present. Robert Orlowski has a permanent excused absence. Okay. Well, I know the agenda, basically, we have three items to discuss. Right now, the budget's the most important one. Pretty much, we kind of know how much stuff cost us last year, so I think we're going to kind of run with that same budget, maybe $15,000 less, because we're not going to have to do all this emergency stuff we did. It was actually closer to $20,000, because between the, like, $9,800 for the two different contracts for the you know, the cattail removal and then making the roads around the place better and the banks better.
So should I print last year's budget for tomorrow's work session?
Yeah. So that way we can kind of look at what we spent.
More copies each than we earmarked.
Well, yeah, we can kind of use that for guidance, but then I'm going to go into the checkbook because basically I don't think many of the things we bought for this year are going to go up any. So we're pretty much going to run the same budget, but we're not going to have to spend the $9,800 for that. We're not going to have to spend $6,000 of it for a flow meter. You know, so there's almost 15 grand right there. The $2,000-$3,000 we spent on maintenance with the Verhelst house, that kind of stuff, we can leave that in there because we'll probably use that. That's basically probably $3,000 to $5,000 is what basic maintenance would cost on that place if we just want to keep the grass mowed down and the cattails out of the pond. It's easy to keep up with. So I'm thinking that's kind of how we should run it.
Some contingencies, we don't know.
You know, because I'm thinking we ran a $95,000 budget, but I bet you we could run one closer to 85 this year, maybe even 80, because there is cost increases. We're going to have a cost of increase in cost of wages, cost of living increase for the waste
control
operator.
And we might be able to raise the tax rate a notch too.
Yeah.
I recommend doing that because then there's less.
Well, there is the issue, too. It's like kind of what I want to work with the money we actually have received this year, despite what we claimed we should collect. Because in theory, if we have 370 customers and 100 of them pay by the year, yearly, that's 17 grand. And then we have the rest of them that are paying $204 a year, basically, for the other 200 people. You know, so what's that? Whatever the math is on that, but that's another big chunk of change. So we should be getting closer to, let's see, at 17. What's 20 times that? Anyway, 20 times 200 is $40,000. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we budgeted last year for $42,000 worth of stuff. I figured we had 300 customers times $200 a year would be about 60 grand. So I figured that's if everybody was paying, that's probably how much money we'd be getting in. You know, and even if we only have, and I think maybe some of those, once we go over it, we may have a couple of percent of those addresses that are just, we shouldn't be billing. That's why we keep getting them back. People
right.
Don't live there anymore. They were an old renter or something like that. The mailboxes are closed. Usually most of those are because the post office box has been closed, which means the person's moved. Which probably means they were probably not the owner anyway. And, you know, the mismanagement of the old billing system Or just, you know, it was probably just misunderstanding of how to do it. I don't think these people were malicious about it. I'm not going to go that far, but I'm saying they just didn't quite know how to do it right and just kind of let stuff fall through the cracks and didn't follow up on stuff. And it's just things like that happen, you know.
But now we have to collect. So what I need to get is the latest assessor records.
Right, then we need to go through and just take off everybody we know that's not supposed to be billed and all that kind of stuff.
Get it going before tomorrow.
In other words, yeah, in other words, tighten up our billing list so we are sure that everyone on there is correct. And then of those individuals, the ones that are in arrears, we start sending the registered letters with the disconnect notices and the offers of payment. You know, the ones that owe for more than a year. We go after the ones that open for more than a year, you know, and go, we understand it's a lot of money. We understand mismanagement never billed you.
But
you need to start paying a bill because once we get everybody paying their bills regularly, probably the rates will go down. I mean, significantly go down if everybody's paying. Just, if it's 17 bucks, basically we get 60 grand from people and our whole budget's 75 grand. It's, you know, because we can get 20, because we need to keep the tax rates at a reasonable rate, but high enough to, because people who don't have houses and aren't building and have property, they pay the property taxes and we get funding that way. So that just, that's a steady income. So we got some more money, but we're still only at 14 grand and we asked for 22. So we're still like $8,000 short, but May is the second half of the payments.
No, I think they came in.
So we should be seeing. Well, they come in as they get them. So if you look on the this month, you're going to see a whole bunch of additions to our account for $35 and $189 and $62.
Budget. $4,000 in the bank.
Yeah, because they put almost $2,000 in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that means people are paying their May things. Basically, the other half of their taxes, which is why we probably only got what we got. We got just a little over half the taxes, and we're probably going to end up getting the other half between now and the end of the year, or now and the end of the fiscal season.
Correct on that.
Because if you're paying, people like me, I have to pay everything in November. Mm-hmm. But the other ones, I think it's, what do you say?
May and November.
Yeah, November and May.
Yeah, I pay in November.
And mine has to be in by December 31st, because I can't pay mine by half. That's only 40. All of my property taxes are $42. I'm only $1.89 of that sewage treatment. Okay, yeah, that's what I mean. It's 1.5% of your total taxes is what people are paying right now for their sewer service.
That's why I'm saying we could.
Which is like I'm saying, kids, why people? Why are these people being so? You know, why are they complaining so much? Because they pay like. 14% of that is for fire service, which God forbid anybody ever uses. Hopefully they don't have to, but it's there, right? To school, which not a lot of people have kids in school. To college, not. So you're, you know, 75% of your tax bill goes for stuff you don't use or hardly ever use. This is the one thing you use every day, and you're like being charged a minuscule amount, and you're bitching about it. Why is it like everybody hates the wastewater treatment system? Like they don't, like it should be free to operate. And, I mean, I understand your septic tanks, you think were free, but when you had, if you were to have to pump one now, that's about 3 years worth of freaking payments, okay? And you wonder why you have so much chlorine in the Napa City water. It's because the wells are in the middle of the town site, which for 75 years put its own sewage into the ground through septic tanks. So there's E. coli in it. It tests, yeah. There's no E. coli in any of the tests we take. There's no E. coli down by Greenbush Draw in the aquifer there. But the aquifer up here in town, where they pump water for NACO, those NACO wells, because they're shallow, about 150 feet down, they all test with E. coli.
With the Arizona Water Company?
Not Arizona Water Company, NACO Water Company's wells.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're right in the middle of the town site, right in the middle where everybody has septic tanks. And that's what's causing it. Not runoff from Mexican sewage leaks, because 99.9% of your sewage goes into wastewater treatment plants.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And the occasional leak didn't saturate our ground. But like Lloyd's Properties, another classic example, it was an old car. It was Jimmy Wilson's property. He'd been there for 50, 60, 70 years on a septic tank. His well still tests for E. coli because of the fat. Because it just keeps...
So these are true facts.
Takes a while to get rid of it, yeah.
True facts about NACO and its history. Arizona Edison was the water company and the electric company, and they had a steam generating plant down there where the waterworks are. And so they pump water and they'd sell electricity. And they take water by trucks and cars, I mean wagons, up to Bisbee. And then they had a modern municipal water system in NACO, Sonora. So it was the most modern water system going. And it, they were pumping on the Arizona side. This was before Pancho Villa and the revolution. So they had a high pressure, modern municipal water company. And that's all the pipes that are leaking right now. So it's so it was so new, and now it's so old that it's all leaking, right? But then they had the very first constructed wetland system for sewage in the late 50s. This was according to IBWC, so NACO Sonora had the first constructed wetlands, and then they renewed it in 1973, and you can see it in the Tucson Citizen. So their stuff was ahead of everybody else. So it's going to, because it's the newest, it's going to be the first to get old and break. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they were the first to get the NADBANK grants. No one, NACO Sonora got the first of the NADBANK money when they didn't know quite what they were doing, too. And so they were aggressive on that, too. So people don't realize that, you know, NACO was ahead of even Bisbee. Bisbee, you know, the doctors of Bisbee had to tell everyone that they were killing more people with sewage than it would cost to put in the pipes to fix it. So that's how Bisbee got its sewage and sanitary system. They had to explain how the cholera and the diseases were killing more people than the pipes would cost. And that's when they finally voted to put in the municipal pipes in Bisbee. So that's the history. Everyone always historically blames NACO Sonora, and they don't deserve it.
Yeah, Bisbee historically has not given a crap about its own water supply. It's like throughout history, like right up to this very effing day. Okay, so let's just.
And I.
That's not legal terminology either. Just
people got a little bit angry because in the due diligence and sort of the six-page proposal, I pointed out the bigotry that it, you know, caused all of these problems going back for so long. And guess what? That gets you extra money because, you know, oh, wow, you mean this stuff would have gotten fixed except for racism? Yes. And you know, like Zacatecas, they quit the sewage system right there because that was the Mexican neighborhood. So Youngblood Hill was the black neighborhood, so they stopped the sewage right there and right there at Zacatecas, and they still got outhouses in Zacatecas going back to them not doing it in 1907 when they could have. And so you have to prove all of this stuff with your due diligence, and then the money starts coming in. And everyone, like the locals, sure don't like hearing it.
One of the other nifty budget things we got to do is we got to determine how much money we're going to have on our account as of June 30th.
Okay, how much money on account?
Yeah, June 30th. That's why I'm kind of watching what's going on right now.
Okay, June 30th. All right.
Because we got to kind of keep an eye on it, because at the end of this month, we're going to pay all our bills for next month. Then we won't have anything to pay after
right,
that.
Exactly.
And then we can get a kind of a good idea. Because whatever that amount is, minus whatever checks haven't been paid, is pretty much what we carry over into the next year. So we have to have a carryover amount. It doesn't have to be exact, because if it's more or less, if it's more, we can't spend it. If it's less, we have to adjust the budget for the slightly less amount, kind of like we do when people don't pay or we don't get all the taxes in.
So for tomorrow's work session, I'm going to email the assessor for the CVS, and hopefully I might have it by then. But then I've got the email from Bruce at RV, so I'm going to send him the bylaws. And then I'm going to print copies of our budget so that we can earmark it tomorrow. And then I've written down we need to know what our account is as of June 30th.
Yeah, because we really need to get a hold of Bruce and say we'd actually kind of like to sit down and talk to you before we just send you a $12,000 bill.
Oh, because I'm going to send frankly, you a nice thing. And
if we go by the bylaws, this is what you owe with 103 spaces, but we do understand that you don't have 100% of those spaces full all year long. I'm willing to cut that in half if you want to do it a yearly payment.
How about the guy that owns the
it will go with $425 a month.
Joe Lewis, he now owns
right?
the
and then you pay us, and which is what we offer to everybody. You pay us a year.
I'm not sure.
Previous year.
I think he's hooked up to it.
Okay.
He's definitely hooked up to it.
Including the 2 month discount, so $420. You pay us $4,250.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if you want to pay the next year in full ahead of time. Like right now, we'll give you 6 months off of that, so you'll end up paying half of $4,250, which is $2,000 or $1,200 or whatever, a little over $2,000. So he can shell us $6,250, and we don't have to worry about him paying for another year and a half, or until July of next year. He's covered. And then he's been treated the same way everybody else was in arrears has been treated. He can't bitch about that. We've got a legitimate sum of money, and then we know at the beginning of next budget year, we're going to be getting $4,250 a year out of him. Because if he wants to, there's another way he could do it, which is keep track of the daily usage at 30 cents a day, which would equal $6 a month about per space per month. And if he wants to do all the bookkeeping and say, okay, I had 25 in today and 30 in this day and 17 in this day and 99 in this day or whatever. But the thing is, that'll end up costing him a little bit more money over time because of the bookkeeping and because he can't use his yearly discount. You'll have to pay every month no matter what. Whereas if you decide to go with this fixed amount every month, then you pay 10 months and you get 12 months. It's pay 10 for 12 is our yearly discount. Pay for 10 months, get 12.
How much does the school pays?
We don't charge government entities.
Because
Border Patrol, school.
Because Bisbee does, right? Huh? Bisbee does charge schools.
Yeah, I don't know if they do.
They do.
Because we're a tax-funded organization.
Yeah, but I think...
But they're assholes,
they're different,
too.
They're different.
I think they're stupid, too.
Well,
for wastewater, yeah, because wastewater in Bisbee's private. It's owned by the city. Ours is a special tax district. Okay. And actually, they don't really use many tax funds. They try to use as few tax funds. That's why they charge that amount of money. Is to basically pay for everything. They use general taxes to pay for the mortgage on the building, which the taxpayers said. But all the fees and services are supposed to be paid for. That's why they have $75 a month. They don't charge an extra $22,000 a year like we do from property taxes to end of the property taxes to get that extra revenue. Their system isn't run that way. So we can't, we could tax it, but it's like I don't want to tax the school. I don't want to tax Border Patrol. I don't want to tax government entities that use it. I would rather work it out for free if they wanted to use our...
Yeah. But how about that?
If they're tax exempt, if they're not paying taxes, they're not paying taxes to pay for the system anyway, so they're legitimately getting it for free.
They're exempt under Title 48, I do believe.
Who is?
Government agencies.
Well, here's the other thing.
Not the golf course.
Not the golf course.
Getting to collecting on back dues, if we do buy a tax lien and take possession of the property, as soon as we own the property, we don't pay taxes on it anymore. See, that's the issue. We don't have to pay taxes on it once we own it. But in extreme situations, if we can get a $35,000 piece of property for $10,000 and some hours of labor time.
It's still speculation. It's not a good use of taxpayer dollars because you have to hire a lawyer and go to court to perfect the lien. And that's an iffy deal. I mean, it can be done, but it's up to a judge. And so everything...
Well, otherwise, then that person still owes you all that money.
I'm just saying that you
all of that stuff gets laid out. If the person wins the lawsuit, he still has to pay for all your legal stuff, all the lien and all
Bisbee
the taxes.
Bisbee liked the idea for about 3 weeks until they got another lawyer that explained it to them.
Yeah, it works.
That's what I'm trying to say is you can end up, liable because now you're paying on the taxes of that thing. Because you go and you buy tax liens, and now you owe the taxes on them.
Well, you've already paid for the taxes.
Yeah, but now you owe the next... quarter.
Oh, no,
yes,
you don't have
you
to
do.
Buy them.
Yes, you have to keep paying the taxes because you went and bought that lien until you own the title or they pay you back. And so now you're like paying taxes.
But you only have to hold it for 2 years and then you take it up.
It's a speculative. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to give any legal advice, but I know that it's not.
I know you did it, so it can be done.
But it can be done, and I know that it's also not a prudent course for a public agency. Because it's speculative, and we can't speculate, or we shouldn't speculate. I mean, Ernie could do it, but not us.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Same time, same place tomorrow at 2:30, and I'll have this stuff ready.
The other reason we need to make sure our billing list is all up in order, because when we start sending people disconnect notices, we want to make sure that everything's on the up and up. Because in some of these indications, I think we're going to send people letters indicating what the things we can do. Uh-huh. All right. One of the things we can do is put a tax lien on your property and then take possession of it if you don't pay. The other thing we can do is file charges in court against you for theft of services, which is why we absolutely have to be sure that these are legitimate people not paying their bills.
Correct.
Because they've been being paid bills, they know they're supposed to be paying, and if they are occupying that residence, if it's a vacant place, this wouldn't fly, but if they're occupying it, they're knowingly using the service, just like stealing electricity. If you steal electricity, guaranteed, electric company's charging you with a crime.
Correct.
They don't fuck around with that.
Yeah. So,
and people need to understand, see, we've got to do stuff, we have to, or we can do the digging them up thing. But we have to start some sort of process like this, because people just don't think we're going to do anything. So, that's why they're not paying. So we got to do something to somebody to make sure they start paying.
I recommend we got to discuss and vote on it, but our options should go into a newsletter, and we ask for public comment.
It's called due process, okay?
We lay out the options for public comment.
There's also public scrutiny. Here's the list of the names of the people and how much money they're in arrearages. Okay, that's perfectly legal.
But we let the paying customers decide how to get
goes in the newsletter. We ask for suggestions on what to do with it. Here's some of the things that we can do. Okay, but that way the hundreds, because we have 270 people that are paying. It's just about 100 people that aren't. Because we got, what did she say, 170 people, basically?
200 are monthly, and then maybe 100.
So we have 100 yearly payment, then we have two, and out of those 200, maybe 100 are paying. So we got like 200 people paying out of 300 people paying.
But think of somebody like Andy Heretic,
Right, so we need a list of.
Yeah, Andy Heretic, that'd be the perfect house to take possession of, because that would make a great place for a NACO office.
You have to go check every.
I got to go get an update of our assessor records, and then talk to Bruce at RV, print the budgets so that we've got that to look at and mark up. Then we need to know our account as of June 30th. But that's not right now.
Yeah, Andy.
Disney Country Club bill. We have to get the after I get the assessor's CVS, then we see where the country club is on their billing.
I ask you one thing. What yes. Should I send out for a bill for the RV park for the month of May? What should I send out? I haven't sent out anything yet. I need to send out something.
I mean, you want to send out a bill for $854 a month times 10 months? I mean, that's...
Let me go take... Yeah, we have to run the drone over it and count how many people are there today.
No, basically it's based...
Nope.
For temporary overnight and lodging, it's flat out that we can do the $650 a month one. It's $30 plus $650 per space, period. 103 spaces times $650 plus $30.
Yeah.
Times... however long
we got to do it according to the bylaws. We don't, unless we vote on it in a session, we have to do it according to the bylaws.
Well, that's why we're doing all this, and then we can vote on whether or not to give these people.
How much does City take in for every person there?
Quite a bit.
Well, that'll just get him going, what the F, and then he'll call. And then we can work out an arrangement with him.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, tell him to call, and we'll get together and work out an arrangement.
Because all of those are all based on 100% occupancy.
Okay, yeah.
And I could say that...
The CPA stuff, huh?
Yeah, be as nice and we're willing to negotiate. That's all you need to
know. Yeah, because you just let them know you're just our CPA. If you really have...
Yeah, we'll
if you have to discuss billing and
we
stuff,
would love
you need to discuss
sit down
it
and
with
negotiate
one.
And come up with a number for
it. Yeah, tomorrow at 2:30 then.
Yes, that's good.
Well, yeah, he can come in here tomorrow at 2:30.
I suggest that, and I say, if you do that, maybe I help you.
Okay.
Yeah, because tell them we're only going to be here discussing how we deal with people
we'd
who
love
haven't
to meet
paid
him.
Bills or how we start getting people who haven't paid bills to start paying bills. Or I don't want to sound like a jerk, even though I'd like to sound like a jerk, but
no,
I've got
to
be diplomatic.
It's not necessary.
But
it's
I need to be
required.
Diplomatic. You've
it's
gotta,
not necessary.
Well,
you
not for him, maybe.
Yeah.
For some people, it is.
The
for Maria Rogers, it is.
Well...
She's got to be let know in certain terms. She doesn't get away with this anymore.
You can't talk to someone over the phone. You have to put it in writing with someone that's going to
not willing to negotiate. So if they want to negotiate, we're fine. And if if they don't want to negotiate, we put it in writing.
Yeah, that's how you do that.
And then we can still be fine.
But basically, anybody and everybody, if the first process is...
I don't want my blood pressure to go up over this. I want to just make sure...
We send out a newsletter letting everybody know, you know, along with their bill that we stuck past due on and disconnect on all of those ones we like want to really be sure they read the letter. They read the newsletter. Everybody reads the newsletter, understand what's going on. It's called due process. That way we're not blindsiding them. Then they get a final disconnect notice, and then when people start painting lines in the front yards and you know, getting backhoes to show up. And I'm sure I can get Bisbee to come out with a backhoe and dig holes in
our...
dig things up for us if we want.
We can put it into a public.
I can get batteries in that little thing that I found in our shed now, and I'm sure we can find out where most people hook up.
Our cast iron hookups.
Yeah,
because
we have cast iron pipes.
We got an magnetometer for finding the pipes.
Yeah, we found it.
And we've got a good map up at ADEC that Kevin did. We just have to go up there and find it or do a request for it. So we do have a pipe map that we're missing that has all the connections. And either... I don't know. My Taran might have it. It's floating around somewhere. But we know that there's a copy in Phoenix. Anything else for today?
Not that I'm aware of.
You're the boss.
I move we adjourn this meeting until the next time.
Tomorrow?
We can do it tomorrow at 2:30 again if you want.
Okay. I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously by all board members.
We didn't vote.